When a person thinks of curses, sometimes fairy tales come to mind, like Cinderella or Shrek, stories of evil entities visiting curses upon other people. In fact, we usually think of curses as emanating from a corrupt or evil source. But tonight we're going to look at a different kind of use of the word curse. It's actually going to be a discussion of God sending a curse, the curse that comes from the law of God. And this is not as common for us to talk about, but it is an accurate description of the results of sin and God's law, God's rules. When we break them, we incur a curse from God. We're going to look at this in Galatians chapter 3 and 4. Paul, the apostle, is talking to the church in Galatia, and he has a extended discussion of this entire concept of God's curse because of his laws and our inability to keep them, and also of Jesus putting himself under the law of God in order to take that curse, in order to accept the consequences of sin so that we might be forgiven. And as we take a look at this, I'd like to share with you, starting in chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says, "All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.'" Now, that was a quote from the Old Testament, from the commandments that Moses had brought down to the Israelites. And the statement was made, look, you are expected to keep all of these commands and rules I am giving you. And then, of course, the phrase, cursed is everyone who fails to keep them. And then in verse 11, clearly no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Let's pause for a second again. Paul is saying that in order to please God, you have one of two options. You can either attempt to keep his will perfectly and follow the law perfectly, or you can do what God asks, and that is to put your faith and hope in him. Those are your two options. All right, then let's take a look at verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So you see that there is an emphasis here that Jesus Christ becomes a curse for us. When a person transgresses God's will, God's law, then they are seen as a convict, so to speak. They are under God's wrath and are due his punishment. Even if we could stop sinning today, there still must be a payment. There still must be atonement that's made for the sins that we've committed. God isn't going to look the other way. He isn't going to ignore it. His justice has to be appeased. In the same way that even if there was a criminal who today stopped committing their crimes, their deeds in the past still stand, and they must be righted. And so, therefore, there is a system of punishment of sin that God has. And this is where Christ steps into the picture, so that instead of us incurring the punishment that we deserve, he is willing to take it, all right? The curse, the punishment for sin. What's interesting is that the law of God normally is seen as a good thing. We see it as a guide for our lives. It teaches us how to be moral and holy. The law of God has the highest principles of human behavior that it sets out, but it only becomes something bad when we and our sin find it condemning us. And when we are under God's condemnation, then the law acts in a way that it does us harm, so to speak. It does us in. And that's why Christ had to come and to save us, to redeem us, as it says, by becoming a curse for us. And that is quite literally what he did. Let's take a look in chapter 4. There's further discussion of this. Starting at verse 4, But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. There's just a fantastic transition that has taken place in the lives of individuals who come to the Lord Jesus Christ and put their faith in him. You know, we see people that so casually discuss and say, well, they're a good person, they're a nice individual. But the fact remains that they're corrupted, that they're sinners. And they are, as a result, under God's curse because of his law. And until they come to Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness. There's no pardon. In Christ, however, everything changes. Jesus Christ takes that punishment. And as you saw here back in chapter 3, verse 13, it talked about Jesus Christ becoming a curse. Talked about cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. Jesus actually fulfilled that Old Testament prophecy. Hung on a tree, crucified on a cross. He literally was treated as an accursed individual. You know, the Romans, when they crucified individuals, they were outcasts. They had been utterly rejected by society. It meant that they were utterly condemned. And that is the position that Jesus took, the position which our sins deserved. And so Christ stood in our stead and took the punishment, took the curse from us. What's amazing is the consequence of that action puts us in a totally different relationship with God now. You would almost think as though there would be some residual distance or some residual caution on God's part. Okay, they've been forgiven, but, you know, we'll just keep them at arm's length because after a while they had blown it. Instead, there is a fantastic intimacy and a complete receiving of us by God. As it says here in verse 6 of chapter 4, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Imagine going from the status of a convict to the status of a favored child. What a fantastic transition. To, on the one hand, being someone who you'd never want to have anything to relate to. They would be utterly kept at a distance, put in prison, damaged goods, due to die. And then on the next, you have totally changed grounds now, and now you're considered the beloved child, the favored one, the one that God showers his love on and finds his joy in. It's just an incredible change. All because Christ took the curse, took the punishment for sins that the law of God demanded that be visited upon us. He takes it in our stead, and now we get a new position, a new status as children of God. And the degree to which now God's favor falls on us is indicated by that Aramaic word, Abba. This is really interesting. The word Abba is not the singing group. No. The word Abba is Aramaic for dada, for daddy. It's the first child that a little Aramaic, first words that the little Aramaic child says, Abba, Abba. And it's so tender, so exquisitely comforting and close. The father holding the child in his arms as a little child says, Abba, Abba. You know, that's what Paul is trying to convey, is that there's been this fabulous change in our relationship to God because of Jesus Christ. And now we can come to God the Father, not groveling, begging for mercy because we have no assurance that he loves us anymore and because we have no guarantee or no comfort of the forgiveness of our sins, but instead that we have this boldness, like it talks about in the book of Hebrews, that we can walk into God's presence and we can come before the throne of grace and find comfort. It's wonderful. And so we find a joy in being able to go from that criminal status to that favored child status. It's a marvelous thing. So Christ, being under the law, living under God's law, taking the curse of the law because of sins that we had committed, what a phenomenal gift to us. And I hope we appreciate that change in our status as a result, that now, just as the Son of God offers this to us, we're now called children of God. What a beautiful blessing that we no longer have to live under the curse of our sins. Amen.